Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, joins us every week. He is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, bringing many, many years of experience to those subjects. We can't even list the number of years of experience.
Or the subject.
He just suffices to say.
The first thing he's going to tell us, though, is about St. Anthony. So.
Is many, many years.
Did you go to Catholic school, Jim?
Well, I mean, what?
Did you go to Catholic school?
Oh yes.
Can you please tell Mr. Miles what St. Anthony? Tell him about St. Anthony.
Well, my saint is actually more Francis of Assisi.
Okay.
But Anthony of Padua. I really forget, to be honest with you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No,
that's okay.
But you pray to St. Anthony when something's lost. I always know this because.
The only saint I know is the one Bill Murray played in a movie, a great movie called Saint Vincent. And it was a good movie, and no one ever saw the movie.
Because it came out so much later.
But it's a great movie that's got,
I guess,
sad, it's fun, it's everything. So watch it, Jim, and you'll learn about a new saint.
Okay.
All right. So anyways.
I'm putting that on my to-do list.
Please do.
Yes, I mean... I did my sumo wrestling event for the year last night. A couple of heavyweights. Anyhow, Andrea Mitchell, who's looked at the scene politically and otherwise for many years, her comment on Twitter about last night is, now that we've been given their statement, it is far less than advertised. No new commitments, no timetable, no definitions. Glad they met, but no breakthroughs.
You know, the bottom line is this morning, here's what I thought, and I'm anybody who knows me, and I have a lot of, probably more than 50% of my friends are Trump supporters. I'm not a Trump supporter, and I never have been and never will be. But the meeting to me was the 4 points that they covered in the memo were all points that have been agreed to over three different presidents, his father and his grandfather. And those 4 points have been broken six times, dating back to his grandfather and then his father. We'll see what happens. But you still can't take it away that having, well, first of all, I don't think we should have elevated him, Kim Jong-un, to the rock star status that he was elevated to, because he is a despot. But the meeting between our president and the leader of North Korea was long overdue. And so it happened, and that is not a bad thing.
And that's pretty much what David Ignatius said. He says, like, stop for a second, see what happened. And then now we have to see what happens.
The only bad thing that came out of the good meeting is that Kim was raised to the status, really, of being a very popular rock star type of guy.
Yeah, and when he went, you're absolutely right.
And you can't forget his history. Just can't forget his history.
And there's, it's no coincidence, by the way, or for my favorite Sherlock, you know what we say about coincidence, that this is the anniversary of Otto Warmbier's return. Yeah. On his
But I don't know if you agree with that, Jim. But I mean, it was a meeting that had to happen sooner or later. But really, it's meaningless unless we see something different happen over the next six to seven years.
I concur with what you're saying. I'm glad there was a meeting. I doubt really that Kim would have ever struck at us. He's not stupid. He'd be annihilated if he struck at us. But let's get to the thing last night. I found it particularly odious that the President of the United States was using this very important meeting as a photo op, an apprentice appearance. The man is a child in a crib who looks up and says, "Mommy, Mommy, give me my bottle." The man is just so incredibly attracted to the need for attention from any side. He is just an odious presence for me. I've gotten beyond not looking at him, which I was doing for a while, and shutting the television off. but he is such a phony. He is, in my opinion, as horrendous as Kim is, and that Kim just murdered them, their family, his family, and so forth. But Trump is in the process of destroying the middle and lower classes by taking away health care, by not giving them not only a decent tax cut, but the key is we need to train our workers. That's why people are out of work. That's why these companies are going to other places to build businesses and also are importing foreigners in. Of course, they have the skills, whatever it be, technology and so forth. All of that baloney last night did nothing for the average citizen and never will do anything for the average citizen.
It was a show.
Let me just conclude with this.
Sorry.
A major, major thing has happened that once again, Trump is kind of diluting with his television appearance. That is his destructive behavior at the G7. Literally several days before the G7 meeting of our allies, economic and military, formed 70 years ago. He dished most of the leaders there. Folks, if we have a tariff, if we have a trade war, all you folks making 100 G's and under, you'll regret for the rest of your lives you ever voted for Donald Trump. He doesn't care. He doesn't know. This is a destroyer, not only a disruptor, a destroyer. And you have a lot of Trump friends? Fine. I hope they have a lot of money, because if we go into a recession, they're going to need it.
Well, you know, that's just the type of person. It's funny, Jim. You can go to one party and people will be talking about me and say, oh, that Marshall Miles, he's a Republican. You can go to another party 20 miles away and people will say, oh, that Marshall Miles, he's a Democrat. No, it's true. It happened to Jill where that was mentioned. But because I have a lot of friends and my friends, I will say this, all my friends who are anti-political views that I have, they're respectful of my views. That's the difference. My friends are true friends. They don't disrespect me for my views. And you know what? I don't disrespect them for their views. I can get into good arguments with them. I can get it. But there's a level of respect between my friends and myself. That's how I manage to maintain.
I concur with what you're saying, and I do not believe I'm being disrespectful.
No, you're not. You're not at all.
The people who have voted for Trump. I'm just putting a warning sign out, okay?
Well, I frankly,
the only thing I care about when it comes to politics is that people go and vote. Yesterday, I had a woman come up to me in the street for a candidate she had, and we got into it, and then she said, well, let me tell you the story, because I said, I'm going to sign up. Don't worry about it. And then she told me the story, and I said, you know, you didn't need to tell me the story. I see who you are. I know who you are. You're out here. You believe in this thing. That's where I'm at. I don't care what side you're on. In fact, happy birthday to George Bush Sr. It's his birthday today. That said, I'm just like the guy in the lighthouse waving that lantern. For God's sake, don't think everything is fine. It is not. Sorry.
No, it's true. And here's the thing that I basically said to myself, what was staged yesterday was unbelievably great publicity and show business. It really was. It was very well done for both sides. I think it was more successful for the North Koreans because it legitimized them as a country. You don't look at them now. Most people probably, unfortunately, don't look at them now as the despot country that he leads. But it was good. It was good theater, and it was good for the world. It needed to happen. But, and there's a big but before that, what happened the weekend before that just really, if my father or grandmother or even my mother came back to life today and saw the two events back to back without ever knowing anything else, they would thought that the world had gone crazy upside down. That's how bizarre the last two weekends were.
And while I'm sure my view is unwelcome, I will throw in my mite anyway. It's MITE, so this isn't going to take long. The way people have been taught to consume information plays a massive part in it, because no one is looking at the big picture, the overview. And it used to be, at the very least, that a newspaper is provided an overview. So you had, even if you're looking at the front page, you had these apparently conflicting, often conflicting issues right in front of your eyes. And you were forced to look that, well, on the one hand, this was happening. And on the other hand, this terrible thing was happening. And, it's a soup. And
but it still doesn't take away from the fact that, in all appearances, and Jim, I know you'll agree with me, and I know Jill will disagree with me at this. In all appearances, it appears that the President of the United States has flip-flopped on support of allies and enemies. And I'm not saying total support, but I'm just saying it looks like our president respects our enemies, what were formerly our enemies, more than he respects our allies. And that would have been the amazing thing to my father, my grandfather, and my mother and my grandmother. That's just, the way I look at it. It's a flip-flop, up-down, crazy world.
I'm certain they would be somewhat shocked. The thing of it is, we used to be a country where when people went to Washington, they had viewpoints on everything, etc. But there was this feeling of, we're working together for our country. Now, I'm going to make my point, because I think this is better for the country. And you make your point, and you think it's better for the country. And then we're going to sit and talk and yell and scream in a conference room. But when it's all over, we're going to agree on some plan that we all agree on. Not the same as the first guy and not the same as the second, but somewhere in between. We do not have that anymore. We have this divisiveness, and it's caused, in my opinion, by lobbyists, by the money that buys these politicians.
Well, you're so right, because people used to go to the Senate and to the Congress, and they would bring basically the views of their constituents. They would really bring the views.
That was the way it was set up.
And
that was the idea.
And they would bring the views of their constituents, and then they would negotiate from that point on. Mm-hmm. Now what happens is each party has a party line, and people go to Washington with the party line.
And they pay. It appears that they pay limited attention to the views of the constituents, and that's part of the problem. In my view, alarming aspect of that problem is that there's not as much, there's massive interest, thank you again, media and cable, in national politics. National. It's all national. World. National. And there is, and this is now being surveyed, and this is a place where people need to get on the stick sooner rather than later. People just kind of yawn when it comes to local politics. They don't pay attention to it. Because they're too busy watching about the national. And the fact is that unless you sort out the local politics, and unless you work locally, as tedious as that may sound, you're not representing the constituents. The system was absolutely set up so that it starts locally and it works up.
Let me combine media and politicians and anything that happens in the country anywhere really is local. It's local to our country. It's local to a specific area, possibly. It is so, beyond the pale what is going on with these innocent children who are brought over the border, seized from their parents, sometimes violently, incarcerated in cells, sometimes 500, 1,000 miles from where they were taken. Where is the outrage in the media? Why isn't there somebody down in Brownsville, Texas, at the prison, broadcasting every day what is going on? This is inhumane. We are a democratic society, supposedly one dedicated to the values of humanity, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think you saw this, but you know, you need to hear it again. There was this Honduran couple, man and woman and a child. The child was taken from the woman's arms, and the woman was taken away, and the man subsequently killed himself. Is that a country we want to live in? We are a country of immigrants. That's why we are so strong. The diversity, the strengths, the intelligence, the talents from countries all over the world. What is wrong with the media and what is wrong with the politicians? The second thing, Puerto Rico, God help them if we have another hurricane. Those people, they're dying because of the lack of medical help, food, etc. So in terms of what is important, these are the important things, not two big fat men shaking one another's hands and saying, oh, we look great on TV, right? Sorry to go that route. But, you know, before I lose you guys, because I know I can feel the hook, there's a very important article for folks to read in the New Yorker magazine. Very, very important. It's about Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany. He was the Kaiser who helped get us involved in the First World War. If you read this article, which is very well done, you will see the similarities to Donald Trump that will knock you off your chair. That's the latest New Yorker magazine. You can probably get the article on.
Something wrong with your phone there, Jim. You're away from the phone there.
I'm sorry. I turned away. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah. New Yorker magazine, please read it. Kaiser Wilhelm Trump. Anyhow, market, I would sell the market. We have a madman running this country. He's going to screw the economy, and I'd get out, go to the sidelines, go into money market funds or something, and wait and see what happens.
All right, I'm going to point something out now. Ronald Reagan, some of my friends said, you said you didn't mind Reagan as a president. But I said, here's the difference, and yesterday proved it exactly. And it's almost like 30 years or 40 years to the date. When Ronald Reagan met with Gorbachev, what was the classic line from Ronald Reagan?
Tell me.
Tear down this wall. He took that opportunity to point out the differences. Yesterday, or this morning, early this morning, what does Donald Trump say? He's got a good personality.
Right.
There's the difference. There's the difference right there.
Let me take you back to Reagan, because this is I saw this on the tube the other day.
We have about a minute and a half, but go on.
His first visit overseas was a year into his presidency. He prepared. He went over there. He went to in England to their parliament, and he addressed them. He embraced them as the allies they are. And from there, he built a greater alliance between the U.S. and Britain, France, etc. He didn't knock it down. He built it up.
Speak into the phone again, Jim.
I'm sorry. Anyhow, Reagan was a builder, not a destroyer. You really need to read history. You really need to get on your internet and go back in time, because you're going to see this country has been very great, and it's been led by very great people.
There we go. Jim, it's always a pleasure.
Sir, it is a pleasure being with you, and Jill as well, because I know that she softens the blows.
That's right.
I love
she
you,
tries.
Too. You take care of yourself.
Take care.
Kiss your kids. Goodbye.
Bye. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. Of course, all opinions expressed are those of Jim and Jill and myself, and doesn't represent
it really is the way that you say that. They like the Jim's opinions, Marshall's opinions, Jill's opinions.
Are all our opinions, and don't represent underwriters, individuals associated with Robinhood Radio, with the Robinhood Radio Network, RCA TV 6 or RCA TV 252.
Or anybody.